that place that you will, that we will worship again. Is that okay? Can everybody hear me clearly? Okay, good. Just wanted to make that sure. So this morning, I want to, because obviously when it comes to Resurrection Sunday, yet again, I love the fact, I just love Easter, because everybody preaches the same thing. And there's unity in it. And this morning, as we were praying together beforehand, the same words keep on coming out of living, that God wants us to be alive, and that He wants to bring life this morning. Why does everybody feel that? Because everybody thinks of Jesus that stood up. So the Spirit is stirring something in our hearts of Jesus rose from the dead, meaning life came. So if you want to put a topic to what I felt this morning is made alive. So we are made alive with Christ. Now that sounds amazing, doesn't it? But it also sounds so Christianese. Meaning it's something that we say, ons praat so baie oor dit, ons sê dit so baie vir mekaar. Ja, ek lewe saam met Christus. But it's something that, as I was just pondering about it and thinking about it and meditating and praying, it's like, Lord, what does it mean? And this came to me like 3 o'clock in the morning. Or no, actually from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock in the morning, I prepared this. I think it was about a week ago, somewhere in the middle of the week. And I was like, Lord, what is it? What is made alive? What is it? And so that's what I'm going to preach on. Okay. That's what I feel, the Lord stirring in my heart. So Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us. It's beautiful, eh? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show His immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So it says that He made us alive with Christ. Just think about that quickly. He made you alive with Christ. He made you alive with Christ. So now hopefully I can put that into words today. And I want to say, firstly, it's not just symbolism. Let that sink in a moment, because we think so. It's these words we use as Christians, you know? It's like He made us alive. And sometimes I promise you, I don't feel alive. I feel alive in my physical body, but sometimes I really don't feel alive. And God made us alive, and we need to understand that maybe why don't we sometimes don't feel alive? We feel dead. Okay, so it is not just symbolism. And here's some amazing scriptures, and it's beautiful when it comes to the baptism, which is not just symbolism. Colossians 2 verse 12, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith, in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. Now if you tell me that it is just symbolism when you are baptized. It says that you were raised with Him through the powerful working of God. That what's happened, just quickly think about it. In baptism, it's the same as that what happened with Jesus. In baptism, you were buried in a grave, and through the powerful working of God, you are being made alive. It is not just a symbolism thing. It's not just. We were in Romans 6 verse 4, we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I remember years ago, my mother led a Satanist to the Lord, a lady at a camp somewhere. And after she led her to the Lord, she said to my mother, please, please baptize me. There's something that they realized as Satanists. just what happens in the spiritual realm when somebody is baptized. And the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is prophesied, is said, is powerfully working in you as you are raised from the dead, which means that you are being made alive. You're not dead anymore. You are being made alive. So what is that being made alive? What is it? So there's three things that I want to touch on today. Because you see differently, you feel differently, and then you do differently. Okay. So I want to touch on those three things. So the first thing is see. See, the problem is, the problem is that the spiritual realm is not a natural thing. And we live by our physical eyes and what we see. And we struggle to see. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. Eh? We struggle with it. But it's actually so stupid saying that. Because do you believe in oxygen? Jeez, I hope so, because otherwise you weren't sitting here. Okay, do you believe in oxygen? Yes, I do. Do you see oxygen? No, I don't. It is something that is there. And the same thing I want to say, do you see hatred? You can't see hatred, but you know that I can actually see hatred, sort of. I can see when somebody's got full of hate in his heart, or there's a manifestation of hatred. So I can see that thing. I know it is something. When I say the word hate, you know exactly what I'm meaning. So it is something that does exist. Dit bestaan. Die feit dat jy nie weet wat dit is nie, sê nie dit bestaan nie, of bedoel dat jy dit nie kan sien nie, sê nie dit nie bestaan nie. It's the same with love. I know that I know that I know that love exists. Why? Because I've got a beautiful wife. Nie, wat lag jy hier? See, and we love, and it's a great philosophy, if we don't want to go into the depth of it. But morals is something that we know is true. Okay, morals meaning I've got a moral standard by which I live with. Okay, but morals is only true. Try and follow me on this. Morals is only true if there's a moral giver. Okay, if there's no moral giver, there's no morals. If there's no moral standard, something like morals doesn't exist. Let me explain it to you this way. Love for me and love for a pedophile or somebody else is different. Now, that's why we need a standard to know what it is. Does it make sense now? So love is something that exists. But for me to know what love is, and for you to know what love is, for you to know what love is, you won't know what love is until you see love in the person of Christ. That's why I believe that God exists, because without God, there's no morals. I can kill because I love killing. And it's okay for me to do that. Does it make sense? So we struggle to see God and see, because we don't believe and see Jesus, who is the standard. So what is the standard of love? Because it's difficult to see. But what love ultimately looks like is this. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If you want to know what love is, that is love. And once I start seeing that, then I start seeing the love that I have for my wife is either true or not. Am I making sense this morning? So what I feel and see towards this love, I actually start recognizing love. Does it make sense? But you have to start with the place of seeing Jesus. So something needs to happen for you to be able to see. Okay. So being made alive, you're not going to feel alive if you don't see. Okay. But something needs to be happen, something needs to happen for you to be able to see. And the Bible talks about, yes, Gospel 101, it talks about being born again. So a lot of people feel like, I'm not going to believe in Jesus because I don't see him. So you're not going to see because you're not born again. And the Bible says that because a lot of people say, I'll only believe when I see. He says, no. Jesus says, Jesus answered in John 3, verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, we want to see the kingdom of God and then we want to believe. You have to start by a place of believing, then you will see. Unless one is born again. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 to 16. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their eyes, talking about the Pharisees. But when, listen to this now, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It's not you turn to the Lord, or, you know, the veil is removed and then you see. It's once you turn to the Lord, then the veil is removed. Okay. You will not see if you do not believe. Faith comes, then sight comes, then life comes. Okay. Faith equals sight of the kingdom of God. So I want to explain it to you maybe in this way. Because it sounds like a lot of Christianese words again, but faith positions yourself to see. Faith is positioning yourself to see. And what I mean by that is, I have to realize that I'm a sinner in need of God. That's my position. Then, when I see I need God, then I start seeing Him. And once I see the King, I start seeing the kingdom. Does it make sense? Faith says, and here's the beautiful part about it. Faith says, I want to see what He sees. Not just I want to see what the King sees. I want to see what the kingdom is like. It's totally different than just seeing because I'm in doubt now. She said, I don't believe this Jesus thing. That's why you can talk to atheists over and over and over and over and over and over, and they don't see what you see. Why? Because they're not born again. They have to realize, they have to position themselves as a humble, contrite of spirit, humble being, and I am just nothing without God. Now that's faith. Now you'll start seeing. Are you guys with me? Okay. That's when I see, and here's also a beautiful thing to realize, of I've seen in my life, the moment I position myself in front of God and I look and I see the way He sees, I see my wife differently. Because then I see Jesus loving His bride. It's not just me trying to love her. I see Jesus loving her through me. Because Jesus is love. It's not me who's doing it. That's why it's a sacrificial love. It's different from the world. The world will say, this is love. I'm like, no, that's not love. The way you love your wife, you think that's the way you love your wife. That's not love. The way you need to love your wife is like Jesus. Because you have to see how Jesus loves before you can love. Otherwise, it's not love. Am I making sense? The truth of what love is found in Jesus. Then I love. Otherwise, it's not love. It's just your perspective of what love is. Okay. See, we don't see God in our lives because we don't want to look at the things the way He does. We don't trust God. We don't believe that He is good. We don't see how good God can do this. And I want to say to you, of course you can't see. Because the problem is you want to understand. You don't want to see. You want to see how this thing works out. There's a difference. Seeing is positioning yourself into trusting God that He's in control. Seeing is looking at the kingdom, not at your circumstances. Seeing is, I see that the kingdom is working out something now. I'm trusting that God's doing something. I'm positioning myself, not looking at the circumstances. Because, and let's be honest, we're talking about being made alive now. Okay? So, looking at being made alive. How many of you could feel alive when you look at your circumstances? Hey? Ek is nie onder my omstandighede nie, maar ek voel okay. Soos ek, jy voel onder die omstandighede. Looking at your circumstances all the time makes you feel dead. If we want to feel alive, we should look at the kingdom. Look at the king and the kingdom. So being born again means I have someone that teaches me to see. Can I say that again? Being born again is to look at someone who teaches you to see the way he sees. To look at things the way he does. Look outwardly at things the way he does. Say, Lord, show me. And what I don't see, I trust you. I trust you. And once I do that, once I see the way he sees, I'm filled with what? Perfect peace. Perfect love. Perfect joy. So here's the first thing. You need to start with faith so that you can see the way he sees. Then you will start feeling. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. It's because you're not seeing. Okay. Open the gates, Isaiah 26, verse 2 to 4. Open the gates that the righteous nations that keeps faith may enter in him. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So trust means that you're keeping your mind on God, positioning yourself to keep on seeing him. If I position myself in a place of my circumstances, I'm going to feel dead. But if I position myself, then I'm keep on looking for God, perfect peace will come because I'm seeing. So once I see, I feel. Made alive means I see and my heart feels. Jesus fills my inner being with who he is. And this is something that continuously happens. Like daily pick up your cross, meaning daily I'm made alive. Daily, and I like for the last couple of months, I've seen so much of my own deception in this world. And as I see, I start feeling free. It's not a condemnation anymore. Like when I see sin in my life or I see something like, you're not seeing this right. This is deception. This is what deception means. You're looking at something wrongly. But when I start seeing things, I start feeling free, not a condemnation, because otherwise you're not understanding the gospel. Okay, conviction from the Holy Spirit is to make you free. It's beautiful scripture. Paul prays and he says, and some of what Tom said last week, I remember when he said it, I was like, it doesn't sound right, but in a way it does. He said, the world sees with their eyes. I understand what he wanted to explain, but their hearts doesn't see. So they understand, meaning they understand the gospel in a sense of what Jesus died on a cross and he rose. And I don't really believe it, but it's not something that they see with their hearts. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And then when I read this, I'm like, Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 20, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. So he prays this, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, meaning that you can see, in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. It's beautiful, eh? So once I believe, I start seeing the kingdom, And once I see the kingdom, my eyes of my heart starts opening. That what I'm seeing starts changing me. What I'm seeing starts, you know exactly, if you're born again Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about now. It's like your heart starts seeing. You feel it. I feel the gospel. I feel Jesus in my heart. That you may know what is the hope, meaning that you're filled with hope, to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might in us, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in heavenly places. It's beautiful scripture. It's like God shows you and he keeps on working in you with the same working with what he raised Jesus. And that's what we made alive, is God keep on working in you. Daily working, daily making you alive. And it's beautiful. Beautiful that same work that Jesus was raised from the dead, he keeps on working in you. So being made alive is not just so that you can cope with the world. It's to feel alive like he did. I want to say this morning that if you want to find joy in your life and peace in your life, hopefully this sinks in now. I'm saying this in faith. That you will find joy where Jesus finds joy. You will feel what he feels. Maybe we're struggling with joy because we're looking for joy where Jesus doesn't want you to find joy. He wants to find joy, or you need to find joy where he finds it. When somebody gives his life to Jesus, when somebody repents and turns away, that is the ultimate joy. But for us, it's just like, oh, awesome, like, sien hy hand. Bid vir jou sterkte met die pad vorentoe. Maybe we're struggling with joy because we're not feeling joy where he feels joy. Now, if I want to explain it in this way to us. God made us. I know John Piper talks about this. He said, God made us, our hearts, with a template, meaning there's only one thing that can fit in there, a template of his glory that can fit into your heart. Meaning that only true love will be felt if you put it in there. Only true joy will be felt if you put it in there. But what we do is we take mud and we try and squeeze it in there. And we squeeze it in there. And it gets dry and it gets hard. And the Bible talks about a hardened heart. So you will only find true joy, if you find true joy, not fake joy. So that's maybe why we're struggling with joy, because we're not looking the way he looks. We're not feeling the way he feels. That's what being made alive means, is that you feel what he feels. Because we want to try and fill it with the world. And that's why we feel sad and broken and terrible, because we look at our circumstances. You're trying to fit your circumstances into a place and try and stick it in there. If only I can get a different job. If only I can, the next season, I know there's joy in the next season. Hey? If only this will change. If only that will do. If only whatever. Because we're looking for places where Jesus is not looking. You can find joy right now today. He wants to make you alive today. My joy is found where he finds joy. That's the template that is being made alive. I cannot live the same way the world does. I cannot look at things the same way the world looks at things. If I look at the same way, and we are indoctrinated, filled daily by our phones, by the world, by whatever, of what joy is. Hey? I know this is gospel 101, and it is so simple hier wat ek nou vir sê, maar ek hoop dit is vir my nou in die laaste paar weke of laaste week wat ek net oor hierdie mediteer en ek sien hoe ons so sukkel met blydskap, sukkel met vrede. Because we keep on trying to push something into our hearts that is not meant to fit there. It's not. Now the last one. Is once I feel, I'll start doing. Once I feel, I start doing. And the problem with this is, it's not doing so that I can see, and it's not doing so that I can feel. And ons as Christen moet pas op vir dit. Because we love doing. Because I want to look like a Christian. So I want to be in a church where there's life. There's a band and it feels like life. Because when I go do that and I'm at that church, there's life in me. It's like I want to say that's not life. Jesus is life. You're trying to fit something in there. It's only Jesus that can fit that. Don't do the Christianese things. Don't do the religious things. Don't do without seeing first, without feeling first. That's why I say I want us to worship in a while. I want us to worship because we saw together, because we feel together. Then we worship. But we want to come on a Sunday morning, we want to worship, and we want to... And I don't, I'm not feeling it this morning. I'm like, worship is not going to make you feel anything. You need to see Jesus. Then you will feel. Then you will worship. It's not doing to feel. I want to go lead somebody to Jesus. Because I want to feel alive. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. You need to feel what Jesus feels for that person. Then lead him to Jesus. That's life. And this is an amazing piece of scripture. In preparing for this, it's the first time I read it in this way after what I said to you guys now. Now, as I read it, I'm like, I was just sitting there. I was just in awe of this piece of scripture. Because we normally, when we take a passage of Jesus, there's this one thing that I know that Jesus taught in that passage, and we hold on to that. But sometimes you just read the whole thing, and it's beautiful. So Jesus said to them, this is in John 5, verse 19 to 21. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing." How much of your week was of your own accord? And we wonder why we struggle with joy and peace. Because so much of what we're doing is of our own accord. See, if Jesus, the Son of God, chose only to do what he sees the Father doing, how much of are we doing blindly and we're just doing? We're just carrying on with our lives. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And yeah, this is beautiful. He says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." I've never read that. It's because of the love the Father has for the Son that he shows him. It's not just, "Hey, jy moet doen wat ek sê, jy moet doen, want jy moet gehoorsaam wees, want jy is in a submissive place onder my." It is because he loves him that he shows him. And I wonder why we struggle to feel God's love. Because we're not looking for the good works that he's prepared for us. We're not, say, "Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me." See, "Because you love me, I'll show you." It's not a just be submissive and obedient. It's because he loves us that he shows us. It's beautiful. Eh? Why? It's beautiful. He says, and the greater works than these he will show him, or will he show him, so that you may marvel. So that you may marvel. See, he shows us these things, that he loves us, so that we will look at the Father and marvel at the things that he's showing us. Am I making sense? Are you guys seeing it? The fact that Jesus, that's feeling alive, is marveling at what Jesus shows you to do. And in the same way, he said, we look at Jesus. He said to the disciples, Father, showing me what to do so that you will marvel at me. But in the same way, he says here, for as the Father raises the dead, gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. In the same way, the Son will give life to us. You will feel made alive if he shows you, and he shows you, and he shows you to marvel at his good works he has planned for you. But we feel, ons voel, you know, ek het al hierdie goed wat ek moet doen, want ek moet gehoorsaam wees aan die Here. Nee? Here, Heilige Gees, help my. Gee my die krag om boldness te hê om te doen wat U wil hê ek moet doen, want ek wil gehoorsaam wees. Like we're missing the point. Yes, it is about being obedient, but it is so that we will marvel at His works. That change, that's being made alive. It's not obedience without life. It's obedience so that you will find life. Being made alive is marveling at what Jesus does and then doing the same. We're doing the same. And in this last week, as I was preparing this and thinking about it and just walking in checkers, I was overwhelmed. I said, because I'm saying, Lord, show me what you see. I'm looking at people, I'm overwhelmed with emotion. Overwhelmed with emotion. It's because I'm feeling what he feels. If I look at somebody, I look at the lady at the counter, and I'm like, it changes. I feel alive, honestly. I feel alive. I remember years ago, the first time I prayed this, there were about 5-6 people standing here. And on my way for praying for them, I was standing out. I didn't just want to pray. I just felt like unease. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not going to pray for them unless I feel what you feel for them. The moment I said that, I couldn't pray. I fell down. I was just bawling and crying. I've never felt so alive in my life at that moment. Because at that moment, I positioned myself in faith, saying, Lord, I can't do this. I want to see what you see. I want to feel what you feel. And that's what the Pharisees said. Show us the kingdom of God. Why? They were looking at their circumstances, looking at the Romans. And he said, the kingdom of God is in you. So for us to feel alive is the kingdom of God. This feeling what he feels is being made alive. And I want to say to you, we need to stop moaning and groaning. Because God's risen from the dead so that we can be alive today. Stop looking at tomorrow. Stop looking behind you. God wants you to feel alive today. He wants you to live today. And I know circumstances can become... And I want to say, life is not easy. It is not. That's why the Pharisees struggled. It is not easy. But there's somebody that can make you feel alive in these circumstances. He can give you peace. I'm not saying you're going to jump up and down all the time and feel like you're super joy real tight. There's going to be seasons where you're going to need peace. But you will find peace if you position yourself to see, to feel, and then start doing even though you are in these circumstances. Because I want to do. I want to. Because once I feel what he feels, I cannot not do. So, Charles, how do I feel alive? I want to say follow the sequence. There's a cheat code to being alive. It's believe, then you will see, then you will feel, then you will do. Don't try and do to feel. You won't feel alive by doing without feeling. Can I say that again? You won't feel alive by doing without feeling. You need to feel before you do. Being raised from the dead is seeing, feeling, and doing what he does. That's the key to being raised from the dead in Jesus. Now, if you go read your Bible with this in view, the Bible will look totally different for some of you. Honestly. It's not a place of trying to be obedient just to the Bible. It's like, I need to see before I want to be obedient. I need to not understand, I need to trust. Amen.